You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Latin America, Central America, South America, the Hispanic part of the New World. We begin the calendar year with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. There are big elections coming up this year. There were many elections in 2021 that still need explication. But I begin with a congratulations to the Secure Free Society Center, because the accomplishments in 21 established the basis for how we will report in 2022. And Joseph, I begin by mentioning my great gratitude to you and your colleagues for your help in understanding a land where I do not have the language, either Spanish or Portuguese, and also your careful presentation that each of these sovereign states have different challenges. They're not all the same. There are themes that seem to run through them, and we talk about those themes, but each country stands by itself, which is why I find it a wonderful study left out of my 20th century education. This is all new to me. We had a little glimpse, I'm remembering grammar school and high school, a little glimpse of the liberation of countries from either the Spanish colonial power or the Portuguese colonial power. But then that all ended in the 19th century. Very little in the 20th century, except as a subset of the Organization for the American States. So we begin this year with your measure at SFS about your accomplishments, the year in review. First, Colombia. What is significant about that, Joseph? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and I'd be remiss if I didn't also thank you, John, for offering us the platform to be able to talk about a region that doesn't get a lot of attention in other media. You just don't hear about Latin America on some of the major media networks, and you also don't hear about Latin America in a lot of foreign policy conversations here in Washington, D.C. So I think this is why we've decided to focus on this neglected region. And one of those parts of the region I think is the most important, at least it was a focus for us in 2021 and will continue to be so this year, is Colombia. Colombia is arguably the top partner for the United States on many levels in Latin America, obviously on security cooperation, on fighting against drug trafficking and organized crime. It was our major partner for when we dealt with the Maduro regime in Venezuela. One thing that maybe people don't recognize is it was our major partner in immigration. We had a lot of trouble on our southern border in 2021, and likely that's going to continue in 2022. But that situation, as bad as it is, could have been a lot worse had it not been for Colombia, because the largest mass migration in the Western Hemisphere is not the Central Americans, it's the Venezuelans. More than 6 million have fled that country since 2014. But the bulk of that has been in South America, in Colombia specifically. And the way that President Duque has handled the migration issue has helped alleviate that situation for other countries in the hemisphere, notably the United States. So essentially, John, what we did is we understood the importance that Colombia has as a strategic partner for the United States. And it went through a very tumultuous year with protests and then border conflicts and just all kinds of, and not to mention the pandemic was still on the move in Colombia. So we understood that our partner, our friend, is in a time of need. And while I felt the Biden administration was a little bit weak in its ability to offer its support in a very robust and vociferous way, we made sure that we went to Colombia and made sure our partners understood that there are many folks in the United States that value this friendship and want to make sure we support Colombia in this important time.
Colombia had a bad patch in the middle of the year, as I recall. We reported on it. There were protests, especially in the part of Colombia that is prey to what you'd have to say, infiltration, bad actors from Venezuela and other parts of Latin America. What was that about, Joseph? What do we understand now, those protests? I believe Cali was one of the centerpieces of the protests.
No, absolutely, John. And we had a lot of conversations about this last year on the show. We also had our colleague, Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal, who was still with the show back then, and she was commenting on the ground from seeing the situation unfold in Colombia. And what we did, we have two reports that people can find on our website. One is written by the center itself, that, you know, written by myself, and the other was published at the Heritage Foundation that was released in December, so late in the year, last year. And the focus of these two reports is really to put a context around what was happening with those protests. Because obviously there are a lot of legitimate reasons why Colombians should be protesting. They're having economic troubles. They're having high levels of insecurity. They're having, they're tired of the corruption and they're tired of the political pandering. So there's a lot of things that they can talk about. I think the Colombians have grievances that they legitimately can air, even through peaceful protests. The problem is these protests have become hijacked. And this is not just in Colombia. This happened in Chile. This happened in Bolivia. This is happening region-wide, maybe even worldwide. And what we saw was one of the ways that they are hijacking, or external actors or malign actors within the country are hijacking these protests, is through disinformation. It's not just on the physical realm. It's in the cyber realm. And they're using all kinds of advanced digital disinformation techniques to shape narratives that are just completely false. When the Colombia protests erupted last year in late April, what caught me by surprise was how intense certain false narratives, such as calling President Duque a genocidal dictator, had spread worldwide. I mean, you can not like President Duque. You can criticize President Duque. I certainly disagree with some of his policies. But to call him a genocidal dictator is just to blatantly put a lie out in social media. But that narrative, which you would think would just be a few people that were saying that, which wouldn't matter much, was one of the top narratives during the protests in 2021. So we wanted to make sure that we challenged that those false narratives, that we understood the disinformation, we analyzed it too well, and that comes out in both of the reports, both the SFS report and the Heritage Foundation report that was published in 2021.
Yes, and that's one of your accomplishments this year at the Center for Free Society, because your counter of disinformation, not only about Colombia, but throughout the continent, throughout the Central America as well, you partnered with the DT Institute's Independent Media Program. What did that accomplish for you, Joseph?
So this is a program that we have in progress, and actually we hope to release some more this year, because what I've realized, John, is that disinformation is probably the Achilles heel of Western democracies worldwide, that no democracy in the world is really prepared to handle this level of foreign disinformation. I mean, these attacks are brutal. And when they spread these lies, people buy them. And it doesn't matter if you correct them or if you challenge them. Once it's in the psychology of certain segments of a population, it's interpreted as fact. And it remains so, even because people don't remember the actual circumstances and facts on the ground. So what we, understanding that disinformation perhaps is the biggest Achilles heel for Western democracies, what we've done is we partner with the DT Institute to start analyzing foreign disinformation in Latin America. When I say foreign disinformation, I'm specifically referring to malign state actors such as Russia, Iran, even China, and looking at how their disinformation is shaping false narratives in certain segments of the population throughout the region. Obviously, there's two major languages in Latin America. There's smaller languages as well, but two big ones, which are Spanish and Portuguese. And if you look at the disinformation in both of those languages, they are spreading globally, because there's Spanish-speaking populations as far as Europe, as close as here in the United States, and there's Portuguese-speaking populations in Africa and in Europe as well. So we're looking at how this disinformation is actually taking certain segments of this population and radicalizing them, or shifting them more to favorable opinions of authoritarian states, such as the ones I just mentioned.
Also, accomplishment for the year in 21 and to build on in 2022, counterterrorism, especially about Hezbollah. You note in your report that five countries in Latin America designate Hezbollah a foreign terrorist organization. However, I can't count the number of countries. I lose entirely track of the number of countries that are either entertaining Hezbollah or are not concerned about Hezbollah penetration. Chiefly Venezuela is what I've learned from you, Joseph.
No, John, so this is, I'd say, one of our top accomplishments at the center. We've been around for about 10 years as an independent national security think tank. And one of our main issues that we've essentially positioned ourselves in the policy debate is on counterterrorism, on Hezbollah's presence in Latin America. This was a void for many U.S. national security agencies. And this was an issue that while certain agencies had a lot of information, there wasn't a broader analysis that policymakers then can consume and understand the depth and also the seriousness of what Hezbollah is doing in Latin America. So I've written several reports about it. I testified before Congress about this. And the designations of Hezbollah as a foreign terrorist organization by five countries in Latin America was a major achievement that we helped the region accomplish since 2019. And so what we did last year was essentially the next step, because once you have governments in Latin America that are acknowledging that Hezbollah is a terrorist organization for the first time, then you have to build that capacity so they can understand how to challenge that, how to combat it. And so what we spent a lot of time in 2021 and sometime in 2020, actually, even despite the pandemic, was helping train Latin American national security officials, whether it's intelligence analysts, law enforcement officers, military officials, on how to deal with Hezbollah. We did this through webinars. We did it through private seminars. I did this in Bogota. And I got to say, John, I think Colombia is quickly becoming the regional leader in expertise on Hezbollah in Latin America. I would have said previously it would have been Argentina because of the bombings in the 90s. They understood Hezbollah the best. But we know Argentina, their government's going a different direction. So I'd say now it would probably be Colombia who understands Hezbollah the best in Latin America. And they can impart that wisdom to other countries, partner countries in the hemisphere.
I want to mention, Joseph, because I also learned through your reporting and through your visit to the Colombia border, that it's not just Hezbollah that we need to concern ourselves with. It's foreign actors. And I mentioned in particular Russia. There were reports of Russian personnel, perhaps military, perhaps ex-military, training or providing weapons assistance to bad actors along the Colombia-Venezuela border. That is not Hezbollah. That's another hemisphere entirely. You don't note it in your year-end review, but that certainly has to be an alarm bell. Does CENTCOM concern itself with this? I mean, SOUTHCOM concern itself with this, Joseph?
Yeah, actually, CENTCOM and SOUTHCOM, I think, are concerned with this because you do have some of these Middle Eastern actors. Russia is very prominent in Syria and the Middle East, and some of that capability and that know-how that Russia has done in Syria, they have then transported it to Venezuela. For instance, its use of private military contractors, something that we saw first in Ukraine, then we saw it in Syria, and then we see that in Africa, and now we're seeing it in Venezuela. I'm referring specifically to the Wagner Group. We also seen that with the use of Russian-made drones. And that's what I saw on the border. When I went to visit the Colombia-Venezuela border, what I call the most dangerous border in the Western Hemisphere, what I noticed was the geopolitical complexities and the use of asymmetric weaponry, such as electronic warfare, that are derived from these Russian-made drones. They're called the Orlan 10. They're essentially reconnaissance drones, but they're equipped with a lot of electronic warfare capabilities. And what it did is it's basically conducting electronic espionage on the Colombian military along the border. Anything the Colombian military does, whether it's communications, transportation, just their movements in general, are being monitored by the Maduro regime, but with Russian technology. And that also extends to Iran, because Iran's also importing its drone technology into Venezuela, and it's using it throughout the country. So I think that the complexities between the Colombia-Venezuela conflict, which is most visible on the border, is quickly becoming probably the biggest problem that we have in the hemisphere that most resembles the kind of wars we've seen in the Middle East or Central Asia or in other parts of the world.
This is the New World Report. This is CBS Eye on the World with Joseph Umar of the Center for Secure Free Society. When we come back, our year in review and looking ahead for Joseph and his colleagues. This is John Batchelor.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.